Very good evening to all Kayamitas, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 10 April 2025. It's a Thursday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, Unique Dhamma Code. We are at Unique Code 149. We finish 148. So as usual, let us gather. Then we will have our simple physical puja. Compose our mind. Develop the faith, sada, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo bun si si chia moni fo. Namo bun si si chia moni fo. Namo bun si si chia moni fo. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo Guan Si Bhu Sa. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Ven Su Bhu Sa. Namo Ven Su Bhu Sa. Namo Ven Su Bhu Sa. Namo Pho Bhu Sa. Namo Pho Bhu Sa. Namo Pho Bhu Sa. Arahaṃ Sammā Sambuddho Bhagavā Buddhaṃ Bhagavantaṃ Abhivādhemi. Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānāti pātā vairamane sikkhā samādhiyāmi. Ādīnā dānā vairamane sikkhā padā samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vairamane sikkhā padā samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā vairamane sikkhā padā samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmērāyā majjhāpamādattānā vairamane sikkhā padā samādhiyāmi. Gannā sārpa dittena dipena tamādaṃsinā. Tiloka dipaṃ sambuddhaṃ pujayāmi tamonudaṃ. Gandha sambara yuttena dopenahaṃ sugaṃ hinā. Pujaye pujaniyaṃ taṃ puja bhajana muttamaṃ. Vanna gandha gunupetaṃ etaṃ kusuma santatin Pujayami Munindasa Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kasumena Nena Punnena Tena Cha Hotu Mokang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vinasa Bhavang Adivase Tu No Bante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang Adivase Tu No Bante Pale Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang Adivase Tu No Bante Bojanang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Mutamang. Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses all the fires of all defilements within our heart or mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pujya. Buddhang Pujyami. Dhammang Pujyami. Sanghang Pujyami. So to develop awareness within is very important. And it's very simple. You just have to silence your mind. The moment you are silent without thought, you're already aware. Don't have to try to be aware. So the support for awareness-based meditation, by now you should be very familiar. The first three are very useful. Relax body and mind, followed by maintaining awareness. This first two, if you can do it well, then the third support will come. The third support is stabilize the inner awareness. So to stabilize the inner awareness is continue to relax, maintain awareness, and don't do anything. Don't try to know. Don't try to do, because the knowing and the doing is always by the thought. So you can just silence everything. Maintain inner awareness. Whatever arises at the senses, the sixth sense basis, aware, finish. So that there is no more proliferation of thought, thinking. When there is no more thinking or proliferation of thought, you will be aware naturally, and that is your true mind. So you can relax and let your mundane mind settle down, slow down until it becomes tranquil and still, until there is no more thinking, no more thought activity or movement. Then you will realize your true mind, your silent mind, which is your pure awareness nature within. That nature can meditate, can insight in the phenomena and awaken. That's why you need to stabilize your inner awareness to realize that true mind, the silent mind within. Okay, I will now set the alarm for 30 minutes for you to develop the awareness-based meditation. Then after that, when the alarm is up, I will ring the bell 3 times. Upon hearing the bell, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. But maintain mindfulness or awareness training, so that you can stabilize this inner awareness, so that you can be aware most of the time, if not all the time. You all can slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state you need to make use of to live the daily life and to stabilize your daily mindfulness so that you are constantly aware, ever mindful. Then use that silent mind, your inner awareness, to develop the meditative wisdom or to develop the meditative understanding. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release. Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata. Saddhammaṃ munirājasa sunantu sakkamokkhadaṃ. Dhamma savanaṃ kālo ayaṃ badantā. Dhamma savanaṃ kālo ayaṃ badantā. Dhamma savanaṃ kālo ayaṃ badantā. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang Samma Sambuddho. Vijacharana sampanno sukato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati sukato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pachyatam veditabho vinohiti patipanno bhagavato sakkasangho uyupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho samicipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho yadidam chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho ahuneyo pahuneyo keneyo anjali karaneyo nutaram punyam ketam sati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, now you can just relax body and mind and maintain some form of attention. Then we shall continue with our sharing from this book, Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Code, as written by me. We are at unique code 149, which is on page 41. So this is a very new code. This code is very beautiful. You can understand, it will help you penetrate the Dhamma to develop the wisdom to awaken. So this code mentioned clearly your ability to see form, the unreality of form, or the empty nature of form will enable you to see beyond form. Then understand clearly that all forms or rupang are condition arising phenomena or entity. They go the way of nature, hence not real, not what you think. Because all form or rupang exhibit the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. Hence one must develop wisdom not to be deluded by form, leading to non-attachment to form. So you can understand this unique code means you have already developed the meditative wisdom well. So the key to understanding this unique code is having the ability to see form. Then, with penetrated wisdom or understanding, can lead to your ability to see the unreality of form or empty nature of form. So this one is very important. Only cultivator of the way who have the inner awareness or mindfulness can do this. So first is ability to see form. How do you develop the ability? You see, for us as human beings, we take a lot of things for granted. We don't even know who are we, what are we, and how we function as a human being. Or how do we know the world, interact with the world. If you have been observant, mindful, then you will come to realize through your own understanding or deep contemplative wisdom that basically we are a conscious being with the sixth sense basis that enable us together with the consciousness trapped inside to give rise to the sixth type of sense door consciousness. That's why we are a conscious being. It allows us to have the ability to be conscious. Conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. And through this, the interplay of the senses together with the sense data and the consciousness, like the physics experiment upon contact, it triggers their respective sense or consciousness. So it's like the lucky pop lights up. So upon lighting up, it's just like the human being become conscious. So the lighting up is like make you conscious. Conscious of what you see, hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think. And through this consciousness, we develop the ability to be conscious of the thing we see. And when we become conscious, we cannot perceive yet. Because initially, like the baby, the newborn baby, they may be conscious. That's why they are very naive, very cute, very innocent. They don't have words, don't have concept. They don't label. But they manifest consciousness. Then they see things as they are, without the words, without the concept, without the conditioning and belief system and all those things. So our ability to perceive come from our conditioning. When we are young, like the newborn baby, you are being conditioned into learning. The parent may teach you, or the person who brought you up can be your parents or your mate or your guardian. They will teach you many things. First, they teach you how to pronounce. Normally, they start by telling you your parents are who. That's why initially it's only one syllable. Pa. Pa or ma. Then later on they add in papa, mama, and all those things. Then later on they teach you our usual Sunday school or whatever. They teach you how to sing song. Then later they use the alphabet A, apple, B, ball, C, cat, all those things. Now may be different. Now may be with the handphone, with the you call that what? The pad. Tablet. Then you have a lot of digital thing that allow the kid to learn. So all this, through knowledge, you accumulate and cognize them. We call that perception. Perception is a quality of the mind. That's why the Buddha subdivide the mind into four more aggregates. And to understand this aggregate, you have to understand what can your mind do. So the first aggregate is, of course, to feel. The mind can feel hot or cold, pleasant or unpleasant, sensation. Then we can also perceive things through what we see, what we hear, what we smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think. So perception or sanya is another aggregate of mind. So ability to perceive is very important. That's why I say ability to see form, the unreality of form, empty nature of form, will enable you to see beyond form. Because when you can see form clearly, then you will penetrate the Dhamma to realize that they are dependent originating, condition arising phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it is unreal. That's why you must have this ability to see form. Then see is universal characteristic to realize its impermanent suffering state and non-self characteristic, thereby realizing the unreality of form. Then you will also come to understand, because it's not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why it is empty, not what you think. Empty nature of existence. So this ability to see form is very important. So we develop the first type of consciousness, means seeing consciousness. Instead of dwelling into the six type of consciousness, we use the sense of consciousness of seeing. So this seeing is very important. You must learn how to see form, then see the unreality of form. To see something, we need to perceive it. Yeah? That's why this perception aggregate is very important. So you need the aggregate of perception, or what we call sanya. So without this perception, you cannot come to know things. That's why through perception, which is sanya, you can see form. And all these are called external form. So ability to see form, you will come to a clear understanding if you are mindful in a way. You need the senses in proper functioning condition, like your eye, which is the organ of seeing. If you are blind, if your organ or the eye has problem, then you cannot see. Yeah. So ability to see need causes and conditions for it to arise. First, there is the organ functioning condition. Then there is a consciousness. For us human beings, is the mind, or what we call the consciousness that is trapped inside since birth until now. After long period of existence, this consciousness has evolved and become a bundle of what they call memories. Of course, together with the brain and other things, with its conditioning, belief system, everything, it's a complex evolved type of consciousness, involved in the negative sense, unless you are enlightened. Otherwise, you will evolve in the negative sense, in the sense that you have a lot of knowledge, a lot of views, opinion, conditioning, and all this belief system coming into play. Yeah. And that one is the basis of thinking. Your thought is respond to memory, from there. And all your perception come from the accumulated knowledge or memory. Because you are taught to label, to perceive. Then you need the sense data. Like our seeing consciousness, you need the light and the external sense data, or in this particular case, it's color, shape, and form, for us to perceive it. Like this whiteboard, how do you perceive it? The chair that I sit on, the table, this video camera, yeah? Then the physical house, all the fixture together with the human being. How do you perceive them? Through your consciousness, seeing consciousness, then your sanya perceive. So this ability to see form is very important, because when you know that it is only through consciousness you can see, and through memory you perceive, you see the movement inside, the interplay of causes and conditions for it to arise. That's why this form that you come to see is through your perception. And this one is dependent originating. Without causes and conditions, it cannot arise. With causes and conditions, it comes to be. This one, you must see it. Then you must understand it. I remember in the early day of my cultivation, when approaching 1989, I was able to contemplate and went deep into all this. Then when I developed the chanting, Rupang Anicchang, I really understand what that word is. All of form, they are impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. But I saw the movement, I saw the activity. The ability to see form means we have to be a conscious being with the senses, with the consciousness trapped inside, and with the sense data. And when causes and conditions are there, it manifests. So take for example this whiteboard or this table. How does it arise? Of course, we will come to know that through our seeing consciousness, we perceive it. But then, why did I say this one is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena? Well, when I look at a plant, a tree, well, being a science student, being observant, I saw how it has all the causes and conditions for it to arise. Then the interplay of the sense basis and the consciousness trapped inside and the sense data, how they manifest the respective sense or consciousness that allow us to perceive through perception the external form. Yeah. Then all this, you don't need a creator to create, anasana. It come about through a nature's process, naturally, like this whiteboard. You need the raw material, you need somebody to assemble this, or a factory to manufacture all the parts, aluminum or whatever, your supply chain, sourcing. Then, after it's been assembled, or sometimes they may break it up and sell it to you to fix yourself, they call it DIY. Yeah. So once it's assembled, the parts, raw material, everything come together, then it becomes something that you can give it a name. Like this one is a whiteboard. Yeah. And because you can give it a name and a concept, and you can sell it. Somebody bought it, like our case, Kayani Mita Fan bought it, then it become the external form that manifests, they be used it for our Dhamma sharing, our classes. So externally is already what we call dependent originating, condition arising. Without causes and condition, nothing arises. So this causes and condition for its arising is very important. That's why your ability to see this form and understand its unreality, see the unreality of form, means this form is not real, not a permanent unchanging entity. It arises through causes and condition, is dependent originating. That's why in the time of the Buddha, he used the blockad analogy, which is very, very appropriate and very easy to understand. So he told the monks at that time, he said, "What do you see?" He pointed to the blockad. Of course, they say it's a blockad because it can perform the function of a card. Then the Buddha said, "Okay, go and take the parts and separate them. When all the parts that brings about the assembly of that block card is taken apart, then he asks, 'What do you see?' There is no more block card. That's why that form, external form that you perceive, when the causes and conditions no more, means the parts that come together to manifest it no more, then it ceases to be. That's why it's dependent originating. When the causes and conditions or the parts that come together to form that block card, when it is assembled and it can perform a function, you give it a name and a concept. That's why it manifests, exists really. But as we all know, externally, is dependent originating, condition arising. It's not a permanent unchanging entity that will remain forever the way. Where it is a phenomenon. It exhibits the characteristics of impermanent. Over time, this one wear and tear. Then when condition is such, one day this one will disappear. It can be stolen. Or over time, wear and tear, damage. Then you cannot use, you dispose it off, either send it for recycling or whatever. Even your house, it may last you maybe 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, or sometimes 100 years. But if nobody stay, what happen? It will decay. It will go the way of nature. Then finally, when causes and conditions no more, it collapses. Or sometime in between, it may not even last so long. There may be like what we witness, fire, or even nature's disaster, like what happened recently, the gas pipeline. It just set off, and so many houses are affected. It's gone. That's why when causes and conditions manifest, things change, evolve, and become different. So this ability to see form, so the seeing consciousness that can see form with mindfulness is very important. When you have the awareness and the mindfulness to see, then you develop the clear understanding of what the Buddha meant by whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So if that is the case, then everything you come to witness are dependent originating. We have causes and conditions behind. Dependent on such causes and conditions, they arise. When causes and conditions cease to be, it ceases to be. And that part is the penetrative Dhamma that you have to develop as understanding. So my explanation is to lead you to the summary that the Buddha has actually keep on explaining to the monks. whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, like Asaji say, my teacher has explained, which is the Buddha. Yeah. So, all this explained to us what the law of Paticca Samuppada is, or the law of dependent origination is. So this law of dependent origination, Paticca Samuppada, is to explain to you through mindfulness, through awareness, to witness for yourself, to realize for yourself that your mind functions in that way. The mind is dependent originating, condition arising. That's why it has a teaching called the dwelling. So this teaching, which is the dwelling of Paticca Samuppada, is to develop the wisdom to see clearly that everything is mind-made. Mind-made are they. And when mind arise, all things arise. And it is through the law of dependent origination, Paticca Samuppada, that it manifests all this. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam. Vijnanam is a consciousness. Then you input the content of consciousness, vijnanam paccaya namarupa. And dependent on this form and mind, the five agree, there must be sense basis. That's why namarup paccaya salayatana. Then, dependent on the sense basis salayatana, there must be contact. Yeah. And because there is contact, consciousness come to be. Yeah. Then, when there is contact, not only consciousness arise, the content of consciousness that went in, the first thing is your feeling. So contact, condition, feeling. Feeling, condition, craving. Craving, condition, grasping. And grasping, condition, becoming. Then birth take place. That's how the mass of suffering comes to be. So all this is to let you understand clearly what the Buddha meant by whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind. So the mind functions in one way. All of external form also have that movement, like I explained just now. The way all this physical thing, or we call it the external form, arise. Then we have mental form too, the manifestation through your sense door consciousness. So physical form, mental form, and nature's form, they are everywhere. And you can see clearly your ability to see them via your senses, via the consciousness and how you perceive and input the content of consciousness. That is meditation. That is Dhamma. Then when you see clearly how they arise and how they deceive living being and delude living being, then you will see the empty nature or the unreality of form. Your form basically is not real, not what you think. Like in the retreat I explained, the table, so solid. Everything you see, the building, everything so solid, so real. Then I ask you, is it real? Yeah, is it real? You definitely say, of course it's real. Yeah. Physically, I can actually see it, perceive it. Then I can even feel it, the hardness, everything. Yeah. Because for us, what is our basis of real and unreal? Anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. And to us, whatever the senses can perceive is real. Because if we cannot perceive, like certain type of high vibration sound, where the frequency is beyond our hearing range, we say don't exist. But certain animal, like the bats or dog, they can hear them. To them, it exists. Like the moving car example. When the car is nearby, of course nowadays there are EV, electric vehicle, where it's so quiet, you may not hear it. Yeah. The traditional car, they are more engine-based. That's why that one, you can hear the vibration, everything. So, when the vibration is nearby, and you have this hearing that is able to perceive it, then to you, it's real, exists. Then when it passes away beyond your range, you say, it ceases to be, no more, gone. Like to us, it doesn't exist. But to another person further down, they pick it up. To them, it exists. So, real, unreal exists or don't exist depend on your ability to perceive it. So see this clearly. That's why in the Cantonese show, sometimes you also see what they try to tell you. 真真假假，真真假假, everything is real and unreal. So the Dhamma aspect is to have this mindfulness to let you understand all this, see it very clearly. Then the reason why I ask you, is it real? Of course, when you already have the understanding, like I explained, it's dependent originating. Condition arising, causal. So externally, it's not so real already, understand now? Without the causes and condition, it's actually not there. But because of causes and condition, it manifests and it arises. Then exists. But this can also disappear when causes and conditions cease to be, like my voice. When I speak, you can hear it. Exists, arise, real. But the moment I stop the vibration, it ceases to be. So this is the first aspect, the unreality, because this one is the first level. Learn to see form and the unreality of form. Yeah. Because form is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. Then how do you know this table? Huh? Like the blocker. How do you know it's a blocker? Through your memory perception, understand not? And how do you perceive it? Just an image in your brain there, understand not? Laterally inverted. This image is just a consciousness, and that image content is even more unreal, understand? Externally, already not so real. But how do you come to know this external form? Through your perception, your seeing consciousness, which is just an image. And this is even more unreal, understand? But why did living being so deludedly grasp, cling, and give so much attention and meaning to it? Externally, already not so real. Then how do you come to know that it is the blocker or the table or whatever? It's through your memory, through your seeing consciousness, which is just an image up here in the brain. And this is even more unreal. Then why do you cling, grasp, and give meaning? That's why I say consciousness come and go like a great magician. It manifests. Then it passes away. Like the white screen, the film show. After all the sound effect, the color shape and whatever, when the show ends, what do you see? It's a blank screen, nothing. All this projection from the projector, they are causes and conditions that manifest that video or the show or the cinema show. And it can give rise to such excitement until people crave to go and see, pay for it some more, talk about it, then be entertained and all those things. And nowadays, the level of sensuality is so high. They got this, what they call, when you go and see all this type of show, they got this, they make it so advanced and so interesting, you call it what? Not only computer graphics, there's a name for it. The multimedia. Of course you have the fourth dimension, fifth dimension, they can simulate all those things. But it can actually come up with such music and associated multimedia effect and make it like so real and so exciting. Then it can like bring about very popular music and show. They call it the box office. Like the recent China one, Naza. It's just a cartoon. But they can, you call it, they can create it through graphics, like Suzy, the digital multimedia, all those things. And it looks so real on your handphone, so it's so real and so exciting. So all this, if you have the mindfulness and the awareness, and the Dhamma understanding, you can see how it can actually lure and entice the living being senses. That's why I put here the phenomenal world of consciousness, the existential world. Here is a chaotic world, but this is where it can lure you, entice you. And everything like very real. Not until you can see form, the unreality of form, leading to the empty nature of form. Then only you can see beyond form. So seeing beyond form is very important. When you can see beyond form, then what happens is, form, the phenomenal world of form and consciousness, loses its power over you. That's why it cannot deceive you anymore. It cannot lure you and entice you anymore. You see things as they are. They are just manifestation, dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. And they exhibit the universal characteristics of impermanent, anicca. If you want it your way, which is not nature's way, you suffer. That's why dukkha. Then, because it's impermanent anicca, it's not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why it's anatta. Non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity. Empty, not real, not what you think. So the unreality of form is very important. So ability to see form, the unreality of form, then you will understand the empty nature, not what you think. Everything is unreal. The unreality is very important, because they are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. So when you understand they are governed by this pancha niyama, then you develop the wisdom to break free. That's why you can see beyond form. When you see beyond form, means you are no longer deceived by the consciousness that manifests the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. But this one is like a magician, and it's a clear illusion for you to see. And this one is not real. Empty. dependent orientating, condition arising, come and go, like that three period of time. Past is already gone, future yet to come. The present moment is the only reality. And how stable is the present moment? Split second is there and gone. It arises and it passes away. And that is the only reality. So how real can life be? That's why you must see the unreality of this phenomenal world of consciousness and form. To awaken to the wisdom that allow you to free and liberate your mind. So that this one has no power over you. Then when you trace its origination factor, you will come back to the 5 years of form and mind, which is basically what you are. Consciousness and its content. And this one is also dependent originating, not what you think. That if you develop the awareness space, you realize there is a pure awareness nature within, which is your true nature, your true mind. And from here, all things arise, the creation process starts. That's why I put here stages of creation. From here, it starts and it manifests. Then through your direct seeing, pure awareness, from here, you understand how all this come to be. Then you return them all to the pure awareness and maintain awareness from within. That's why sati or mindfulness is very important. When you are mindful and aware, you see everything. You understand everything. You can develop the wisdom to liberate, to awaken. Then from here, when your wisdom is high enough, this wisdom connected to the mundane mind, the 5 degrees of form and mind, this mundane mind realizes itself and sees, then this pure awareness also sees. That's how you realize the unconditioned nirvana, the enlightenment in the here and the now. And this is how the meditative process come about. And this is the profoundness of the Buddhist teaching, the beauty of the Buddhist teaching. Okay? Can you understand? Now I read to you the quote. You should be able to develop the understanding better. Unique Dhamma Code 149. Ability to see form, the unreality of form, leading to the empty nature of form, will enable one to see beyond form. See? Then form loses its power over you. Then you can develop the wisdom to awaken. So understand clearly that this external form, they are all dependent originating, condition arising phenomenal or entity. They go the way of nature, hence not real, not what you think. Because all form exhibit the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkha and anatta. Hence one must develop the wisdom not to be deluded by form, leading to non-attachment to form. So this is a very profound unique code. And the three universal characteristics, you must insight into it. You must awaken to it. That's why I remember I used to share with you all many occasions, after 1989, when I came to realize all this, I always say, for those who see, they always see. Your truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, the enlightened one, they always see. Because the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang and anatta, they are everywhere in the midst of life and nature. And everything exhibits that universal characteristic. That's why your mindfulness must be so stable until you can develop this understanding, until you can be aware of the phenomenal moment of arising, sustain, and then passing away without thought. See it there and then. Then you will awaken. Everything is like that. All phenomena, they manifest that way. The coming and the going. That's why these universal characteristics, the three universal characteristics are anicca, dukkha, and anatta, they are very powerful. The moment you penetrate them, you penetrate all phenomena. And all this is what mindfulness is all about. When you cultivate, when you have developed the mindfulness, you can see them. Every moment, every instant, they are there. Yeah. Okay? Any question? Or anybody who wants to share, you know, elaborate on it? You can ask, huh? You can just come in. Or develop your own understanding and sharing. Huh? Nobody got question. Either they don't understand or all of them understand. Okay, today we have more time. Huh? Maybe we stop here. Huh? So now we continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting or Q&A, question and answer session. You can ask me any question you might have regarding what we share today, Unicode 149, on how to see form, the unreality of form, and how to see beyond form.
Right, good evening, Brother Teo.
Yes.
I have a question pertaining to meditation. Since you bring out the topics about form, when during meditations, when with very very settled mind, silent mind, sometimes I feel that there is the body like a porosity stage, which means to say that like the sound, if there's a sound coming from one direction, it actually go through at the back of my body, so it become very porosity type of feel. Was it sort of the observations of detachment of form from the type of experience?
Can I ask you back a question? You say when you are meditating.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What were you doing when you say that?
Which means to say,
because I was, according to you can still perceive all those things that you describe. So what are you doing actually?
What I'm doing is that I do not want to think. I leave the silent mind. Somehow or other, it's very silent.
Okay.
And there's external. I of course, when I hear a noise, I perceive. I could perceive the phenomena. Okay. I perceive there's a noise. But when it actually noise come in, it as if that it actually. I don't really feel the. I feel that there is my tactile sensation is a bit more sensitive to noise and vibration. So when the noise came in, it as if that it actually passed through. It actually passed through the type of feeling. I'm not chasing the sensation, but as if that it passed through.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I guide you this way, easier for you to understand. Because most of you all are so conditioned by thought-based, knowledge-based type of meditation. That's why just now you asked me that question, is it a form of detachment from form and all those things? When you meditate, forget about all those questions. The key is develop awareness within. That awareness was sitting as they are and awaken. Don't go and look for the phenomena. Don't go and create your own concept and idea of meditation. Yeah. Because thought-based meditation have that tendency, because you are so conditioned by those Dhamma words that people tell you, you must learn how to detach, let go, and all those things. Then you must learn how to see the characteristics of anicca, dukkha. Then you go and look for the Dhamma. Whereas the real meditation is completely silent, without thought. Then let the silent inner awareness develop the understanding by itself. That awareness nature without word, it can awaken. It can see things as they are without word. That it understands. That it saw its movement. That it can also like insight into phenomena. Means like when you are mindful and aware, at that moment of its arising and sustaining and passing away, there and then, the mind that is silent and just aware can awaken, can insight into the universal characteristic. That form and mind, together with the awareness nature inside, just awaken and understand. And after that, he or she realized the profound wisdom without word, without idea, concept, or what we call without thought behind. It just awakened. But when you try to create the thinking and from knowledge you go and look, actually there is this thought behind. The very, very I should say subtle movement which is behind the nature. The thought is still active actually, but you cannot see. Then that one is full of knowledge. That one want to know. That one want to realize. Want to awaken. That craving is very strong. Because that one feel that he exists and he is a meditator and he wants to be enlightened. That egoic mind, that sacrality prevents understanding and awakening. Because like the Buddha said, this Dhamma that can be realized is beyond thought, beyond mind. And this one is akaliko. Akaliko means beyond thought, beyond mind. It is unconditioned. When thought is involved, it's no longer akaliko. That's a thought base, the instrument limit you from awakening. So what you describe is, I think, what you all normally do. That's why I say when you meditate, you don't try to be curious and don't try to infer things and try to look for things. You just relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize the awareness first. Understand or not? Little one.
Yeah.
So once you stabilize the inner awareness, you will understand what I share. Before that, it's always the thought and the knowledge and the memory playing the what they call delusion game behind. And because of that, thought-based meditation, people who do that type of so-called meditation, they cannot progress. They get stuck there. Yeah. So to progress, very simple. Remember what Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 as proclaimed by Lord Buddha. Heedfulness. Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So this one very clearly points toward heedfulness. So when you develop the meditative mind, you are actually developing heedfulness. So to be heedful, like Dhammapada verse 23 explained very clearly, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, if you hold on to these two practices, you will realize the bond-free Nibbana. So that is what heedfulness is all about. Ever mindful, constantly meditative. So how can you develop that type of mind that can make you heedful? To be constantly or ever mindful, first you must stabilize your mind to be mindful, aware first, anasana, without thought, aware, free mind. Then stabilize it so that throughout the day is aware, ever mindful. And then that mind, which is the meditative mind, the silent mind, the inner awareness, no thought involved, can meditate. And that one is constantly meditating. That's why ever mindful, constantly meditative. When you are completely silent, that silent inner awareness, which is your true mind, can see things as they are, can insight into phenomena, and can awaken. And that is the meditative mind. That's why remember to develop the mindfulness first, then stabilize it so that it is ever mindful. Then when you are ever mindful, the first thing that will come to you is, on your own, without any thought or what, you realize suddenly you can be aware of so many things. Your kaya, your thought process, your sati, your feeling, everything. They just manifest. Last time, before you have this sati or mindfulness developed, before it stabilized, you think a lot. You have a lot of heedless thinking. Yeah. Then you have a lot of what they call excitement linked to life. A lot of chattering. A lot of verbalization. Then a lot of what we call views, opinion, conditioning, belief system. Then you react and stir your mind very often. Like everything also, you have a view about things. Then your mind is seldom at peace, seldom able to be within the moment to experience the pristine beauty and wisdom of the moment. Means you cannot be with the moment in silent inner awareness to live life, to experience life, to observe and experience the pristine beauty and the pristine beauty and wonders of life. You don't have the awareness within to enable you to be with the moment to experience all this. Because man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are lost in thought, preoccupied with all your thinking, your reaction, and whatever views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system that is running. Or you are completely without thought. And when you are completely without thought, that is sati. That is mindfulness. That is awareness. That is your silent inner awareness. Your true mind. Your silent mind. Can you stay with that mind? No movement at all. Means it's a free mind without thought. Not a conditioned state. You don't focus, you don't concentrate, you don't know. It's just that mind without thought. That is the meditative mind. You must develop the mindfulness until it has that stability. Then most of the time, this mind doesn't think. It's just aware. Aware. That's why it can understand. It's like very observant. Then it can see things as they are, no? Human beings' problem is they are not seeing the reality. They are not seeing things as they are. They see with their views, opinion, and belief system. Straight away they react. Straight away they go and associate with what they have been taught, what they have learned, and all those things. That's why that knowledge inside, their views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system that they accumulate, that is the part that is active. So if you act according to memory, you're not acting at all. Well, what is that memory? Accumulated knowledge. And what are the accumulated knowledge? All of your experience in life, good and bad. And what do you carry inside there? Your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your whatever emotion, good and bad. Of course, your good moments too. But all these are with the ego roots, understand? Your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation. So acting according to memory is not acting at all, because this is all your whatever mind state that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion is without the wisdom. So the way to act is to develop the wisdom to awaken to the teaching, which is the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Then when you have this wisdom, the Buddha called it Yoniso Manasikara, then you act based on Dhamma understanding, Dhamma wisdom, which is the Yoniso Manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Then this one, the Dhamma wisdom, will prompt you. Sabbe Sankara Anicchang, Sabbe Sankara Dukkang, Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. Then you don't react, you don't stir, and you don't move. Then like what I share today, form is unreal. Form is dependent, originating, condition arising. See it, awaken to it. Then it loses its power over you. It cannot lure you. It cannot deceive you anymore. It cannot cause confusion in you anymore. You are not like lured by it or enticed by it. It loses that power because you see clearly the empty nature, unreality of form. Then you can see beyond the phenomenal world of form and consciousness. Then everything is an interplay of causes and conditions, following the Panchayama. And this is what wisdom is all about. So meditation is not to associate an experience, then link it to what you heard, or is this detachment from form, detachment from what? These are still knowledge concepts born of the mundane thought process. So silence your mind completely without thought, learn to see form. Then you will insight into phenomena and awaken, and you will see the unreality of form. Form is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. Then like the Buddha say, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions. And that statement becomes very clear to you. Then rupang anicchang, everything you see, that table, that chair, the building, the infrastructure, everything, all of nature, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they exhibit their characteristic. Then they're impermanent. That's why the morning chanting, the monk chant, rupang anicchang. When you have developed the sati, mindfulness, the direct seeing, and when you have awakened, you see them very clearly. All external form, they exhibit the universal characteristic. That's why being an engineer, easier for me to understand. When I look at the building, rupang anicca, I know how the process, causes and condition behind is arising. Understand? Then how it collapse or disappear when causes and conditions cease to be. Just like that Bangkok building. How that moment is still stand after the earthquake. the what they call seismic movement, then you see it loses its stability, then it just collapses into a pile of what? Broken structure. And that is the reality of form. Come and go, understand? Dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomenon. And how do you know? Through your perception. Through your mental perception, image. Externally, already not so real, dependent originating, condition arising. Then how do you come to know? Through an image in your brain. This is even more unreal. Externally, already not so real. Then how do you come to know about it? Through your consciousness. Is this an image? Even more unreal. Then how come you can be deceived by it, deluded by it? And yet people grasp onto it, cling onto it, and talk about it. So all this is what Dhamma is all about. When you penetrate, you really awaken. That form and mind that has that direct seeing, that wisdom, it will awaken. Then when you awaken after that, all these things is no longer like something that can deceive them or they can be curious about it. No more. It's just the way things are. Condition like that, things will be like that. What are the causes and conditions for it to collapse? That seismic movement started from Myanmar, that earthquake. The Richter scale of 7.9. After that, is physical law of nature, Utu Niyama. Then the cause of synchrony is such that that structure has its weakness. Under construction, not stable yet. That's why it collapsed. Now it seems they are investigating on the steel that they use. They claim that it's not up to the specification. But those are not important. Well, what is important is causes and conditions already manifest, happen already. So, thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will like that. It has to be like that. So, coming back to your case, Brother Wong, you go back and listen to this recording again. It will help you. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you. Sadhu, sadhu.
No problem. Sadhu, rejoice. Thanks for asking that question. Well, many Kayamita also may not understand. So at least you ask the question, then I answer. Then for those who already have developed the understanding, it's very easy for them. They can follow very clearly. But for those who are still new, you slowly learn from all this. Then always remember, the purpose and intent of meditation is to develop heedfulness. And to be heedful, you must train your mind to be ever mindful, then constantly meditative. So to be ever mindful, you must stabilize your mind, which is already developed and mindful, until it's ever mindful. So stabilizing your mind to be ever mindful is not easy. In fact, mindfulness itself, if you don't understand, is not easy. That's why a lot of people don't have the understanding. They develop thought-based approach to develop mindfulness and awareness. They can't. Because the moment you note, you verbalize, or you come out with a method and a technique which is just a series of instructions to meditate or to do things, or when you have an object of meditation and you focus, concentrate and develop the one-pointedness and absorption, your mind is not a free mind. You are not developing sati or awareness. You are using thought to know and to do a lot of, those who understand, say, thought-based approach to meditation. And according to Jay Krishnamurti, he used this word, pardon him. He said, don't go and do all this silly thing. To him, really, where he sees it. all this is no meaning. Then you go and develop all the psychic abilities. They are like paper tiger. It's not a real tiger, not what you think. So those who have the wisdom and the understanding, that's why Mahayana also use a very strong word. The three evil root, you know, greed, hatred, and delusion. We all call it delusion, self-delusion. You know what Mahayana use the word? What is the word they use? No, stupidity. Shenhua always use the word stupidity. But it's very stupid. That's why they use very strong word. Really, you cannot understand. That's why he say, Sakaya Ditti, self-delusion lead to, actually, that word, you cannot blame them for using that word. But these are very strong words that people who has developed the understanding, they use. For me, I try not to use because it may hurt people. So, if they are hurt, they don't want to try what you share with them. So try not to use all these words. But you need to understand some of these teachers or masters, they use this word as well to them. Is really, that is how it should be. Shenhua was my refuge teacher. And I respect him a lot. And it was because of him in 1986, I received his book. The first series of English translated book, Mahayana Sutta. It started with the first chapter of the Surangama Sutta. The first, not the first edition, the first chapter, the very initial book, I remember. His Kapia actually came to me, and that time I was working as an engineer. And suddenly he saw I was having the yellow string on my left hand. Then he said, "Oh, you are Buddhist, huh?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I wear this so that people are aware that I cultivator and Buddhist, so that they don't simply say things. Because whatever you do, whether verbally or action, speech or thought, it can actually create karmic." Then I think he also knew. He was very happy. He said, "I will give you a book." He said. And he never tell me what book. The next day he came with a book, photostat copy, Surangama Sutta, first edition, chapter 1. And first time I received that book, it was 1986. Then I flipped through it. I said, "Got such book." Then I call him up. I say, "Who are you? How come you got Master Shenhua's book?" Well, when I was in the university, 1977, MU, he came. I was there. Then later on, after I graduate, before 86, I remember, he also came. I was at Brickfield Denver. I met him again. And he got affinity with me. That's why I went and listened to his talk. Then I took refuge, whole family under him. And because of that, his book actually came at the right time. That's why when the student is ready, the book come, the teacher come, the guide come, everything come. 1986, very funny. All these people who supposed to have affinity with my nature, somehow they appear. Then that 3 years, 86, 87, 88, until early 89, that 3 years, everything unfold. First was Kuan Yin. Kuan Yin came with in the dream. Then after that, Xianhua came, become my refuge teacher. Then the rest follow. That's why if it's meant to be, will be. When you have the affinity, you will know. That's why very important to have affinity with great beings. You cultivate all the way. They can actually be a blessing to us, help us in many ways, so that we can develop the appropriate progress and awakening. So all this, hopefully, it can help you all. Okay, Wong, Brother Wong, any other question or not?
Yeah, the other, maybe okay. Also another sharing. This 2 days ago when I tried to meditate without thinking, somehow or other there's I feel that I'm not thinking, okay, but subconsciously there is also some little bit of thought come and go. So what I take note of based on your guidance, Brother Teo guidance, I actually just watch it and let it come, and then it disappear itself, it move on, and after a while, very peaceful, and another thought come in again. I did not react, I just keep on observing it. So somehow or other, I could have a little bit of a minor thinking. It's like subconsciously thinking on something which affect a bit of emotion. So in that sense, I'm aware of it. I just have to observe it, and quickly it actually slow down and disappear. That's what I observe in the process. Yeah.
And what is your question?
My question is that there's one section when I see, and suddenly things are quiet down, and it actually feeling like I'm actually in the afternoon in my room, it's hot, but suddenly you feel like a splash of water splash on my face. And there's a little bit of very dynamism, energy, reinforcement of energy in my sitting. So I think that part of is a bit unusual, is actually very charged up like that, you know, that split of second. So
that one is a shift in consciousness. The shift, the consciousness shift. Because when you relax and let things be, then this shift of consciousness can happen. Then your mind become different. But always remember what I say. Relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize that state first. Don't try to get involved with all this analysis, I call it. You all do that type of thought-based one. You like to analyze. There is no good or bad about it because that is the way you all did things. So it takes a while before this analysis of the mundane mind can realize itself and cease not to do it anymore. Because like you say, you are not really stabilizing your sati yet. Because all this movement, like you describe yourself, you realize there is some thinking behind. Actually, that one is analysis. Your mundane mind is analyzing what this thing is. And who is the analyzer?
Your thought is the analyzer.
Yeah. So when your thought is active, how can you be mindful? You can only do one thing at a time. Always remember that. Then the other thing is, you also mentioned, sometimes when this subtle thinking or this so-called analysis of the mundane mind comes, you can feel some emotion. So all this is the mundane activity. Then sometimes... So understand, the purpose of meditation is to develop mindfulness, stabilize it so that you are ever mindful. Then let that silent mind, which is ever mindful, develop the wisdom. Understand now? Don't be too eager to progress and know and try to link to your knowledge of what meditation is. Then like, oh, you understand, you still got thought, you still... All these are the thought actively analyzing within. That's why you cannot develop much progress, is because your thought is still active. That's why I say don't try to know, don't try to do, just relax, maintain awareness. Like you go for a relaxed walk. You don't believe me, at the retreat, when you find it very difficult to sit, or you have a lot of heedless thinking and all those things, or your mind cannot settle down. I advise you, just relax, mindfully come out of your sitting, then go for a walk, relax, walk, naturally, relax, walk. You come back, you sit again, very easy to sit. Because when you are relaxed, you are not under pressure to meditate. So you are not under pressure to develop the progress. You are not going back to the old way of method, technique, analysis. You know? All these are your habitual thinking that you all have developed through your conditioning. Where you are doing thought-based. And basically, you need the thought to tell you things, to reason, to analyze, to try to give understanding. Because thought-based is knowledge-based, and that is not wisdom. So always remember, to develop sati is relax, maintain awareness, no more thinking. Don't try to know, don't try to do, just relax. Go for a walk. Yeah. Walk mindfully, means body and mind move as one. Then when you come back, you sit, you realize you settle down very fast. Then very easily your mind become like without thought, free mind. Then suddenly like you realize your true awareness nature within, the tranquil, still mind without thought.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how you meditate. So
avoid
doing the old thing. So relax, maintain awareness, do it until very stable, until nothing, until like no thought. Whatever arise, aware, finish. You know what is finished or not? Don't go and think anymore. Don't go and create the analysis through the thought process anymore. Don't want to know. Don't try to know, don't try to do. The doing and the knowing is always by the thought. The one that analyzes is the thought. So all this is the thought come through the back door without you realizing it. And when thought is active, you cannot be aware. Understand that. The moment you are without thought, the awareness appears. Because thought is a byproduct of our awareness nature. From the pure awareness nature, all the thinking, the sankhara, the aggregates of mind, they arise, they surface. So understand that. Then relax, maintain awareness. Then when you stabilize the awareness, you will realize your true mind. And that moment is full of joy. But after that, you start to understand what the Buddha teach. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is, you see clearly from that nature, pure awareness nature, thought arise. And when thought arise, your mental intention create the karmic process. That's why mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chi. When mind arise, that mundane mind, that mano, you input the content of consciousness before you have the wisdom, the enlightenment, the uniso manaskara. All of your thought process is with delusion, with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So because of that, you cannot develop the understanding and the progress. So see all this clearly, then understand. Then when you are in that state, tranquil and still, without thought, that is your true mind. And then you can inquire. You try to understand. Without thought, who am I? You realize you cannot do anything. You are nothing. You cannot describe or whatever. No word, nothing. Well, that nature is just that nature. But the moment you input the content, the thought, then this thing manifests and become the analyzer, become the one that verbalizes, chatter, create all the thinking. the emotion, everything. That's why you can see very clearly how you become the mano, the mundane mind, that trigger of all this.
So, Brother Cho, the awareness and the mundane mind thought is actually
very close to each
very
other.
Close.
Very close. But most of the time, you are doing the thought based on, you think a lot. You can never be with the pure awareness. Because the easiest way to understand is, can you be in a state without thought, free mind without thought? You go and try.
Maybe for a short period of time, yes, but after a while...
You also cannot. You may think you have no thought. But who tell you no thought? The thought tell you you have no thought. Understand? The thought that is egoic is very active. And before you develop sati, before you stabilize your awareness, you actually cannot be with the moment without thought. Impossible. Even split second also, they cannot do. I got one classmate who told me, I just ask him a very simple question, no? My uni mate actually. Because he got anxiety, he got panic attack, he think a lot, and he worry a lot. Then he asked me, how you all meditate? I said, very easy lah. Don't think lah. You know what he told me a lot? You must be mad lah. How can I not think? He said, he got so much fear, worry, anxiety, and panic. If he think a lot, he worry a lot. And he got to take this tranquilizer, you know, panic attack hormone, what they call pill. You know. If he don't take them to boost their hormone so that their panic attack will not affect them, they cannot actually even drive. That's why he said halfway, he has to stop his car and take that pill and rest. And then after that, they continue. And when he attacked them, a lot of fear. Because that brain, together with the habitual tendency or that fear, phobia and panic attack, has tormented him so seriously. Until he went and see psychiatrists many, many times and changed psychiatrists. So these are the way living being actually become restless, heedless. And they think a lot. At night also find it difficult to sleep because the sankhara activity, unresolved so-called problem, keep on haunting them. Even while at night when they want to sleep, they dream and a lot of thinking going on inside there. They cannot have deep, peaceful, good sleep. So understand all this, then try to develop the real awareness-based meditation. Awareness-based meditation, remember the first three or the four support. Relax, maintain awareness, stabilize the awareness. No thinking involved. No analysis, not trying to know or do anything. Just stabilize the awareness so that it becomes ever mindful. And then from there, it meditate by itself. It understand by itself. It observe by itself. Then you realize everything you do, you are aware. No more thought. And the thought like cannot come out anymore. That is heedful living, the new way of living. That's why you have to anchor your awareness to your kaya. You know what is anchor to your kaya? Like when you walk, the Buddha say, walking aware. Means the body and mind move as one. Bowing aware. Body and mind move as one. No thought. Then when you blink your eye, the mindfulness is with it. Like your hand movement, awareness. Body and mind move as one. No thought. Then when you want to stand up, standing, aware. Body and mind as one. Not thinking, no. That's why you all don't have the understanding, you cannot do it. When you have the understanding, when you can do it, the sati will come. And when it comes, you are so different. It's suddenly like everything is in perfect harmony, synchrony. The body and the mind move as one. First is the kaya. So that's why kaya nupassana is the first foundation. Then your mind becomes so quiet, so still, until mind enters sati. Then when mind enters sati, everything you do with your six sendor is in sati. Your seeing is in sati. Your hearing is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile is in sati. No more thinking. The thought hardly arises. When you need to use thought, only thought arises. But when you don't need to use thought, the thought like no longer like before. Yeah. That's why when you have this ability to be aware, you transform from heedless living to heedful living. Heedful means all the time you are heedful, ever mindful, constantly meditating. Then space between thought a lot. Space, you know, between thought means most of the time you are without thought on. Whereas the heedless one, the unenlightened one, the untrained mind, think a lot. Very heedless, very restless. So ability to be mindful and aware is very important. That's why awareness-based meditation stabilize it. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Sadhu, Brother Teo.
Sadhu, okay.
Amitofo, Brother Teo.
Coaching, yes.
Mrs. Teo and our time. Yes. Maybe I can give some advice to
better.
Brother Wong. From my cultivation, how I do it. Because
Sadhu,
a lot of people say, from Brother Teo, you know, the expert,
very difficult, you know? So for people like us lay people had the difficulty or start from the beginning, you know, so maybe can help. For me personally, developing sati is very, very important. Okay,
yeah.
Now in fact,
most
I attend Brother Teo's retreat, Cameron retreat, right? I read the book, yes. Other than that, I don't have much other books that I read or Dharma knowledge that I have. Like, I don't have much.
That will help you a lot.
Ku Ming San classes and all that's it.
Yeah.
So for me, I only learn the meditation. I focus on the meditation, meaning what Brother Teo said. Number one,
here you able to follow exactly
your mind, you know?
My instruction.
Don't do anything. Don't try to know.
Don't try to think.
Just follow the instruction and do. Relax is very important, number one, huh? Okay. Now developing to develop relaxation, really real relaxation is not easy, you know.
Yeah.
Initially when I do it, do you know how long I took to really relax? Half an hour, you know. In the meditation, just half an hour to relax, you know.
Yes, because initially
it's not easy,
not
you know,
easy.
Because you have so many I mean, mundane stuff like your family, your things to do.
Yeah.
It's always unfinished business, you know.
Yeah,
so when you sit down
duties.
Only, straight away, your mind are very busy thinking, doing this, doing that, or blah, 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 blah. Never stop one, no. Never stop at all. So you must keep doing it every day. Just sit there, relax. Don't do anything.
Don't do
try
anything.
To achieve any progress or anything. You know? Just sit there and relax. Okay, it can be 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever.
Yeah.
Just do that.
Yes.
Until one day,
you will settle down.
Okay, your mind totally,
quiet.
Very, very quiet.
Yeah.
A shift of
thought.
Consciousness. You can see it very clearly.
Yeah, the shift in
you know,
consciousness.
Shift, you know?
Ah.
Then very still, very tranquil.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
That
very
is
good.
Where you start your meditation. Before that, you are not doing any meditation.
Correct.
You are very troubled with your mundane mind, you know, thinking, thoughts, blah, blah, blah.
Telling
you story. Whatever, no need to know. Don't try to analyze. This
sadhu.
Is what you must do. You must
very
train
good.
Your mind, you know. Every day you train your mind.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
this
yeah.
one. rubbish, this one rubbish. Don't even bother, you know. Just sit there and be quiet and silent
in
mind, relax. Relaxation is very important. Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes you sit down and you cannot relax. Why? Because you have been, your mind, your whole day has been in a disorder. You know?
Yeah, disorder.
Every
there
day
is
you,
no order. Yeah.
Have a lot of roller coaster.
Yeah.
Like, dislike, pleasant, unpleasant, blah, 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 you know, all your stuff that you're doing.
Mm.
So you have to like be, I mean, you have to be, how you said, huh? You have to train your mind to be aware that you're doing all this rubbish.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
In the disorder, you know. So you must like do your homework like, every day, huh? Why are you having all this trouble? So you must do certain things like housekeeping, you know. This one, don't bother. No need to know, no need to do. If I need to do, I put down in a note. If I need to answer certain thing, I go and do it. And I give myself like a timetable to do, you know.
Yeah,
so
you can
you
tell the
clear
mind.
All
yeah.
this,
after the meditation,
in,
I attend.
So your life become a lot more orderly.
Sadhu.
And when you do sitting, it will be very easy.
Yeah.
The other thing, my brother Theo said, go for a walk to relax if that is what you need. Sometimes you may want to do swimming. Like for me, I do swimming, I do go for a walk, things like that.
Yeah, so you are in the relaxed
you like
state.
To do. Like you like that gardening, you do gardening to relax.
Mm.
Anything that can help you to relax. But your life must be in an order, meaning no unfinished business. Like,
no unfinished
possible.
Business.
Let's say you want
to
go
no
to
conflict, nothing.
End of this
Resolve
month.
Resolve it.
Don't bring your problem all to
Don't carry.
You know?
Don't carry
so whatever
your
unfinished
thought.
Business, you must put down the list and do it. And after that, when you reach there, it's relaxation time.
Very
enjoy
good.
Yourself.
Very good. Sadhu. Yeah. Sadhu.
So this is
Sister
very Bojeng, good.
Thank you very much.
the very important homework I will do lah. Participant, this will help you a lot.
Yeah, sadhu.
Okay. I think very that's good. It, Bharat.
Thank you, thank you. That one is very good, Bojeng, sadhu. That's why for those who have done it. Yeah, for her, she is very lucky. During MCO, the thing happened. Then she thought, when I want to become serious, I want to go full-time, MCO coming, retreat cancer. So I did the Zoom class, Heart Sutra. Then within 8 months, she follow and listen attentively. Like he say, she don't have much conditioning from other Buddhist teaching. She just went to that one Mahayana, and I forgot it. Kuang Ming San. A bit of that training, but doesn't affect her. Then he follow instruction, no. Then he got it, no. Within that few months, before the 8 months is up, she got the sati, you know, the silent mind, you know. Oh, that's why I used to share in the early day, I remember, like you read the newspaper, most of the time, 90% of the news is rubbish. You only read the headline enough already. Then all the pakwa, no need to read, even the advertisement, unless it has something to involve you in life. Otherwise, more than 90% not worth reading. In fact, your heedless thinking and your thought process, like Pochen came to realize, the unfinished business, actually wasting your time and drain a lot of your energy. That is what Krishnamurti called disorder. When you don't have order, means you don't resolve whatever unfinished business in life quickly. You let it accumulate and hold it in your memory. That's how all the fear, worry, anxiety manifests. Then because it's unfinished business, it's attachment, clinging. Swing. And this one keep on coming back through the back door to haunt you when you want to meditate. The thinking, the habitual thinking, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the phobia, they keep on manifesting. So this part, just listen to instruction and follow instruction and do it sincerely and you will progress. Because if you don't try this, you didn't realize that you have been going back to the thought-based analysis and all those thought-based type of approach to meditation. That's why you didn't listen to instruction clearly. The instruction is very simple. Relax, maintain awareness. Like she came to know, relaxation itself took her quite a while. But initially, your whole physical body is full of stress, especially after a tired day, especially if you are a career lady or a housewife or whatever. You got a lot of activity that need your attention. That's why I learned to write them down. Don't keep in the memory. Then attend to it one by one. Finish, tick it off. Finish, tick it off. So that it does not disturb you. If you cannot resolve issue, then your mind is not peaceful. But these are the unfinished business that you need to attend to. And the mind going to it very fast. And develop all the heedless thinking, habitual thinking. And the fear, the worry, the anxiety, you cannot see you or not. Yeah? And it causes a lot of stress in you. You are not relaxed or not. Especially your facial muscles, very tense. And you ask people who are observant, look at you, they know you're not happy. Your face very moody, very stressful. That's why in the retreat I saw people so serious. I said, relax, smile. Radiate a radiant smile. Go for a walk. You go to retreat not to torture yourself, understand? It's to go and train your mind to be peaceful, to be aware, to be in a state of relaxed awareness within, so that you can experience the true mind, which is tranquil and still, peaceful. That is meditation, not to torment yourself, stress yourself, until so miserable. The pain is so like serious, severe, until you cannot take it. Then the mind think a lot, so stressful. To me, that is not meditation. You might as well go for a walk, go for a coffee, then come back, relax, then let your mind settle down. The very flowering of that thinking is the very ending of that thinking. You don't feed it with any more thought energy. Don't give it any more deluded thinking. Then it will settle down. You will see the mind settle down, like it become quiet. Then finally, still. The sankhara activity will move, then it will slow down until it settle down. You can realize that even for one time, you will understand already. Then next time you will know how to meditate. When you just relax, maintain awareness, silent, then all the sankhara slow down and stop. I remember in 1989, after I developed the understanding and transformation, then I come out to the private sector. I want to test myself. You know what happened? Private sector, as an engineer, I need to study a lot of things, new design concept, all those things. Then the office got a lot of project on, and all this got a lot of files and all those things that I had to read and all those things. Then, despite my understanding, after I do that work, the nature tell me, you want to suffer, you go and read, you go and do all this. But then I very good. Whenever I free, like lunch break or what, or after office, I will relax, silent everything, I will not think of the work. Then I realize that this sankhara in my brain there slow down by itself. Then suddenly it stopped. And I realize I can do it initially 2-3 minutes, it settled down. Then later on, within that instant, less than a few seconds, it just settled down like that. Because you have already developed the understanding. Just relax. No need to know. No need to do anything. Think also like that, don't think also like that. It just settled down. Then everything become so clear, so beautiful. The real sati, awareness-based meditation is like that. That's why you have to do it. Like Po Cheng said, sincerely read, understand, then do. Don't go back to your old way. You must develop understanding, then do. And when you do it with understanding, you progress very fast. And this type of awareness-based meditation is the easiest. No focusing, no concentration, no nothing, nothing. Just relax. Maintain awareness. Then you will transform. Okay, we have to end already. Huh? 10:40 already. Okay, we will rejoice with all the good sharing, huh? Especially Brother Wong and Po Ching, huh? So that you all can learn and develop the understanding. Then we share merits, huh? Starting with the devas. Akka Satta Chya Bhumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Itta Vata Cham Ehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Devo satkalina sasa sampati hetu cha. Fito bhavatu loko cha. Raja bhavatu dhammiko. Imina punyang kamena. Mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patiya, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Eh? Then we end sadhu.